We've always sort of told stories. It seems to be an Aboriginal thing. We all like to tell stories. Sometimes it's just gossip, but quite often there's a good story there.
Oh, we all like a bit of gossip though, Gladys. Come on.
Yes. The idea was that we were both very, and I was very upset because our country is out Nullagine and Marlborough, out that area where, you know, the mining's concerned. And I've used to come up and just see the changing landscape and the destruction, and it used to make me feel very, very sad to see that happening to the country. You don't see the animals you used to see anymore, and you know, you wonder where it's all going to end. So, and I just think there needs a better balance with the environment than what we've got with the environment and mining and our culture, because our culture is also disappearing. It's in the way, you might say, of the mining. And also even protected areas they've allowed, like Abydos Woodstock, which is a very special area, but it's all protected from everything. But, you know, railway lines going through it, that seems to be the order of the day. I think there's going to be about 7 railway lines going through that. So that means the removal and destruction of our culture and our knowledge. Aboriginal history and knowledge is so important, not just to us, but to every person, every Australian. And it's something that children need to know, that we didn't start with Captain Cook, that we have such an amazing history that is learned through Aboriginal knowledge and teachings and stories and art, and it's a shame to see it disappearing. The idea of trying is to try and get it heritage listed, the Abydos Woodstock area, because it's so important. There's tens of thousands of sites and carvings and, you know, artefacts and things like that. I don't think it's high on the, you know, the list of priorities for the government to have heritage listed. It's not like the Opera House.
There's something very obvious and very tangible in seeing a large building, and perhaps that's something that, for whatever reason, is people find easier to get their heads around in terms of heritage listing, rather than some etchings on stone or something of symbolic or spiritual value. Would you say that's the case?
Yes, yes. I think because Aboriginal history and knowledge has never been taught. So people have probably got really no idea, probably thinks a lot of it is myths and, you know, they talk about the dream time, they probably think, well, that was a long time ago, that was maybe happened, but it's nothing to do with today. But you see, it's going on all the time. It doesn't stop like this. I mean, if you had such important monuments and artwork and that sort of thing was in Europe or anywhere else, it would certainly be, would never have been allowed to have been destroyed. I suppose the book was written and the story was because of how we felt that maybe somebody might listen. And I think if you teach children to care for country and care for the animals, maybe they can talk to the adults and say it's not just all about money up here.
You're on ABC Northwest, you're with Elise Batchelor here, and I'm talking to the lovely Gladys Milroy, and we're chatting about the book Dingo's Tree that she has both authored and delightfully illustrated with her daughter, Jill Milroy. Tell us about the process then in terms of your artwork through the book, which is gorgeous. You tell me you don't have a huge background in the formal arts, but I'm seeing something that is so delicately and so movingly illustrated in the beautiful colours. Tell us about your artistic process.
Well, I don't know where it came from, but they couldn't get an illustrator to do the book. So Jill said, oh, Mum can draw. And I said, no, I can't, you can. She said, no, Mum will do it. She had to get stuck into it or there wasn't going to be a book. So anyhow, we persevered and eventually got there, and we're very happy with the book. I think they've done a beautiful job. And so we're just hoping that people will get the message, and it will encourage them then to look, well, you know, the world needs balance, and that's not what we haven't got. I mean, especially the Pilbara, with the mining up here, and I don't know, maybe if there's enough people interested, something can be done about it.
And what I'd say from this book too is that it's pitched at different ages, because we have these beautiful illustrations and a tale that in some ways is very sweet and very simple and might be boiled down to the simple aspects of caring for country or looking after each other. But there is a very profound and very adult message in all of this too, isn't there?
It's very hard to do a book that's suitable for children and adults, and we like to really, a bit of a greenie, I suppose, I like to, it's talking for the animals and the trees and the environment, because not many people talk up for them, and they don't know when a train's coming that they're not supposed to cross a railway line and get killed or wounded, and they lie there and nobody goes and looks after them.
And I am looking at the most beautiful animals that I have seen drawn for quite a while. Particularly, Gladys, I'm looking at an echidna who has the most melt-in-your-mouth little eyes, big, gorgeous eyes peering out to the land, bright, bright colours in all of your pictures, and a very, very gorgeous tale, and it's an absolute privilege to have you read for us and share a hint of Dingo's tale, and I tell you what, I'm getting myself a copy, that's for sure.